Tonight, we'll start in Exodus chapter 20. That's where we're looking with our study. And we've been looking at, for a few weeks now, verse 14. There's a lot packed into this little verse that affects us in so many ways. Let's go ahead and read that together, shall we? Verse 14, Exodus chapter 20, let's begin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And God certainly wants us to have some morality in our life. And that's what we're looking at as we look at the Ten Commandments, the moral laws that God has for all generations. And the one we're looking at here in verse number 14 is the right morals, the right morals. Morals are simply conduct or behavior amongst each other. Right morals help protect us both spiritually, physically, and our families. Wrong morals can confuse us, condole us. And as we'll see tonight, if we continue with wrong morals, we can expect some destruction. We can expect some sad, sorrowful ness in life. We've looked at the biblical definition of wrong morals, the four that we saw: adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, concupiscence, strong sinful desire, concupiscence, lasciviousness, lust, but not to the point of physical relations. Fornication is when it goes that far, fornication outside of marriage, and physical unfaithfulness, adultery. We've looked at those things. God's order for sexual relationships is this: commitment, speaking between men and women, that God does bless a committed relationship, and committed in the sense of, as God leads, marriage. And before that, to remain innocent before Him, that is, not having any kind of physical sexual relationship, monogamous and lifelong is God's plan. Jesus confirmed for marriage that is His plan. Cohabitation follows marriage only. You don't live together to find out if you're going to get married. You get married and you live together. Amen? That's God's plan, and it works if we follow it. Not with or under parents. Husband and wife roles begin at the time of marriage. Listen, husband and wife roles don't begin when you're dating or courting or any of that thing. It happens. It starts when you get married. Amen? That's when it starts, and not before. Husband and wife love each other exclusively. We looked at that in Ephesians chapter 5, a dedicated and loyal marriage. Conception, Psalm 127, we looked at this last week. God's plan is in marriage for a husband and wife to rear children and for those children to know Him. God's reward, part of that reward in a honorable marriage, is to conceive children. But not everybody can. Not everybody does. Physically, they're not able to. So God certainly opens up the option of adoption. We looked at that and how God in the scriptures has examples of those who were adopted. Probably the most, the one that comes to mind first is Moses. And then we looked at Esther and, in a sense, Jesus, though he was not legally, of course, but Joseph taking the role of his father, not being his real father, but using that opportunity to raise him and his family. And there are other examples that are unnamed in the scriptures, but God certainly opens that up. Commitment, cohabitation, conception, God's order for sexual relationships. Now we want to look at some safeguards. Tonight, some safeguards. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. That's where we're going to spend probably all our time tonight, because we're losing time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's take a look. Starting in verse number 1. Verse number 1. And we want to read down to verse number 9. Verse number 9. So here's what we'll do. I'll read verse 1, you read verse 2, please. We'll go back and forth responsively and read down to verse number 9. That's where we're going to stop. I'll begin. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinence. See. For I would not that all men were even as I myself, for I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner, and another after that. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. We're talking about safeguards for right morals, and we'll look at four of them all together. We'll start with this one, the standards that God would help us to have standards on physical contact. And then we're going to look at this passage here as well as the next point if we get to it tonight. I don't know if we're going to do that. But certainly God has some things that we need to keep in mind as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7 specifically. But let's pray before we go any further, and then we'll ask his help to lead us. Heavenly Father, thank you for, Lord, the way you share your instruction. Lord, the things that you want us to do, yet they are a pleasure to do for you, and they are so helpful. And also, they are safe. They keep us safe, dear Lord. And I pray even tonight as we cover these things, look through them, we ask, Lord, that you would guide us and direct us, Father. Help us to examine ourselves again like we always should when we open up the Bible, where we need to continually follow what you say. And Lord, that we would change if there's a different direction we're taking. May you get the glory for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Safeguards. Looking at standards. Here's a safeguard. To have some standards on physical contact. Now the Bible says in verse number 1, he says, concerning the things wherever you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. If we take this passage as a group of verses, which you're supposed to, verses 1 through 9, what is the subject of the passage? The subject is marriage and how God wants to use that and how it should be, how we should react and behave with one another in marriage. But he certainly gives us some guidelines and some safeguards to consider, married or not, how we can stay honoring to him. Here's a few thoughts as we look at it. First of all, let's look at the chapter before. If there's a verse that seems, you know, man, I'm not sure I know everything about this, that seems kind of, what is he talking about there? Look at the verses before. That's my advice when you study the scriptures. Look at the verses before. That can help guide you. Let's take a look at verse number 15 in 1 Corinthians 6. What is he telling the church before he comes to chapter 7? Verse number 15 says this, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What does God want us to keep in mind, regardless of what standards we keep? What's the first thing he wants us to know? The first thing is this, determine God is the owner of my body. God is the owner. Here's what he says, again in verse 19. Know ye not that your body, if you're saved tonight, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which are God's. That's what we need to determine before we consider anything else, that God owns us. If that's not on your radar, I encourage you, please consider that the Lord is in charge of you. Not me, not anybody else. God, he owns it. Consider this. 1 Timothy chapter 5. There is appropriate conduct that allows for non-sensual touch. When God says here in verse number 1, it is good for a man not to touch a woman, what is he talking about? Does that mean we can't shake hands? Does that mean we can't embrace at times when in times of sorrow or grief, or maybe just as a greeting at times? Let's take a look, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now this, if you have poison ivy, then I would certainly follow that. Not going to touch you, don't worry about that. But obviously in normal times of conduct, what does God want us to do? Again, to think in these relationships. Relationships that we're not married, we're not thinking about getting married, but is there an opportunity, or I should say, is it appropriate to touch? First number one of 1 Timothy chapter 5, take a look. Now remember who 1 Timothy is written to. Who did Paul write 1 Timothy to? He wrote it to Timothy, who was his pastor friend. He helped train him. But yet, of course, it's truth for all of us that we can glean from. And this is how he was saying, here's the conduct you need to have with others in the church. Verse 1, verse 2. Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all, what's the last word? Purity. Purity. So as we see each other in church, the way we keep our relationships right is we consider one another like this. The ladies that are of older time, older age than me, like mothers. I treat them like I would love my mom. I do not want to see her hurt. Amen. That's how we treat our senior ladies, as senior men, with respect. Here's what the Bible says. Rebuke not, but entreat him as a father. Does that mean that all the older men in the church that Timothy pastored were always right? No, of course not. But they needed some care and respect and honor, even though they don't always do things right. But he says, entreat them, care for them. And then he says, with the younger men as brothers, as brethren, and the younger women as sisters, so that purity continues in the relationship. If we consider one another like that, it makes it more difficult for Satan to get in our head and start lusting against one another. That's what God wants. He wants us to stay pure with that kind of relationship. Now, we're not from, down south, and there's always those jokes about Kentucky and places like that. But I've been in Kentucky, and listen, they don't do that with their cousins and sisters either. They love their family. They care about them. No, certainly God has something in us. He's put in us of a challenge to have any kind of sensual feelings for those who are in family. And God says he wants us to consider that when we are with each other. Appropriate conduct allows for non-sensual touch. Spiritual and intellectual interests may grow. Well, what happens? How do you get married? All of a sudden you show up that day. Somebody said, I was supposed to be here and I got a wife now. No, that's not the way it works. Usually, there is some interest. There is some contact. There's communication. And however you want to call it, date, court, with engagement, talking about before marriage, these are things that God can help grow. But the spiritual and intellectual part, knowing one another, interest, needs to take the front seat, not physical, not sensual. And what he's talking about, this touch in 1 Corinthians 7, I believe, is sensual touch. Anything that is designed, as I touch someone or someone touches me, with the hope that something more physical will come after that. Something more physical would come after that. And God does not want that out of me or anybody else. Sensual touch leads up to sex. There is no doubt about it. Verse 1 and 2, take a look. Concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, let every woman have her own husband. According to verse 2, who is it that a husband can touch like this in verse 1 and not be in sin? His wife and the wife her husband. That is the plan. That is the standard God put in the Word of God here. Sensual touch leads up to sex. Confine romantic, and we're talking about some standards here. Confine romantic, or here's the blank, sensual touch to marriage. Take a look at verse 7 and 8. For I would that all men were even as I myself. What was Paul? Was he married or single? According to the scriptures, it sounds like he was never married. Accomplished a lot for the Lord. And he says, I would. He doesn't say God necessarily. He says, I would. Then he says, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Burn, what is he talking about? To follow through and commit the fornication. It's better to marry than to continue on with a relationship that you know is going to likely go that way. Either you completely separate or you get married, one of the two. And God says, Paul gives that advice. Uniting in marriage satisfies the sensual desires with my spouse and my spouse only. My spouse only. We're not talking about standards for dating tonight. We're not talking about what you should and shouldn't do before you get engaged. We're talking about what God's plan is for people in their behavior with one another. If the goal is sensuality, then the goal is wrong. The goal is wrong. That only is reserved for a husband and wife together. By the way, husband and wife alone, not with other people either. I don't know how much you read up on things, but a sad thing that's going on in the world today is that a lot of those relationships between a husband and wife are becoming so perverse that they're reaching out, people are reaching out with other couples. It's vile. God doesn't want that either. But he says, here's one way to avoid it, only with your wife. Standards on physical contact. God wants us to have some, not zero. Let's go to verse number 2 again. Verse number 2. Another safeguard for a right moral, and we're talking about the marriage relationship. Strong and growing physical relationship in marriage is a safeguard for right morals. Take a look at verse number 3 again. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. A growing physical relationship in marriage is, benevolence means you're doing what? You're giving. You're benevolent. You're unselfish. You're giving over. So the word is unselfish. Unselfish. A growing physical relationship in marriage is unselfish. As I was looking through some things and looking online at some things today and in preparation tonight, something interesting came along in Google, and it was the Psychology Today website. Have you ever visited that? It's a bunch of baloney for the most part. But something interesting that an article came up was that a marriage in one of the, whoever wrote it, this article, said that for a husband and wife, if they're not getting along, and the feeling is, you go in your room, I'm going in mine, or wherever, we're going to do this, you know. He said the response needs to be, come together. Come together. Don't worry about the talk, but come together. And physically, try to love one another in that way. Now, it's not easy to love somebody when you're not up, when you're upset with them. But his point was, I'm not telling you that the psychologist was right about everything. But his point was, if, as you draw closer physically, some of whatever you was upset about begins to fade away. God certainly wants a husband and wife to be unselfish in their relationship with one another, especially in a romantic and sensual way that's regarded or reserved for them to do. Let's take a look in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. And look at number three. Look at number three. We're going to look at verses 3 to 13. And I think I'm going to read for us. Here's what it says. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. The strange woman, and there are strange men too, that it, with that regard, looking for an impure relationship, includes sensuality, etc., leads to, here's the blank, devastation. Devastation. There's nothing good that comes out of it. The moment of pleasure can equal a lifetime of devastation. Notice what he says here in verse number 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Most people are not necessarily, most Christians that I know of, are not necessarily going to go out physically looking for somebody, because this is referring to a woman. The strange woman, it would be a woman who's looking for sex, and the strange man would do the same. But we don't have to go out of our homes anymore to find something that incites lust or fills lust. Pornography, chat rooms, things of the like, where there's communication between somebody. And by the way, on the other side of that computer, you have no idea who that is. How many people have you heard about? Young people, girls, guys, who've been drawn into these things because it was interesting to them. It incited their lust and they followed it through. You don't have to be young to fall into the trap. Guard against visuals and places purposed for sexual impurity. Visuals and places, that's the way I put it, the best way I can, purposed for sexual impurity. Why don't we meet at a bar tonight in the name of Christ to fellowship and worship Him? A bar was not built for that purpose, or other places. This place was built for the purpose to honor Christ. And that's why we gather tonight. Stay away from places that are striving to draw us away from the things that God would have us to do. And others that lead to devastation. And certainly, and I say visuals, it is ultimately the goal that Satan wants is to get into the heart, to draw the heart and just say, well, I gave you this, but you need some more. You need some more. And follow through. Let's finish with this. Love and satisfaction are found in my spouse. And you can write under there, only. Only. Physical, sensual love and satisfaction are found in my spouse. Let's follow through on this chapter 5. Take a look at verse 15. Drink waters of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Interesting that Solomon wrote this, isn't it? His Proverbs are right on. Sadly, he did not follow him himself. And he actually proved what he wrote. He walked away from God and the relationship because the Bible says is that strange women, these other women that he married, and those he didn't that were still relationships with him, drew his heart away. That's not all the right things, the safeguards we want to consider, but consider them standards on physical contact, a strong and growing physical relationship in marriage, and haven't forgot about those who have been married, but you're widowed or not married right now. God has an answer for us on that too next week. Next week, how's he going to help us in this regard? Safeguards, right morals. Let's go find a partner. Let's pray.